Today's shiur is Masechta Sota Daf Mem Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Beis or Mebeis on the bottom line. The Mishnah taught us that the Meshuch Mechama tells the people go out to war. V'atem i'atem came. K'Hashem l'keichem ha'olichim machem li'lochem lachem. Says the Gemara, v'kol kach lama. Why? What was the great guarantee when he said Hashem Ha'ilchim Lechem? Says the Gemara Neshem Shem V'kol K'noyev Menochem B'Arein, that the Arin that they took along with them when they went out to war had in it the Shem Hashem and all of the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cain Weimer, and so do we find the Pasuk says V'yishlach Oysa Moshe Elef L'mata L'tzava Oysa V'es Pinchas Ben Elazar the Sanhedrin joined with them in war. Pinchas was the Meshuach Mechama. The Kli HaKodesh refers to the Zaharin, the Luchas Shabbai, refers to the Aaron and the Luchas that were in the Aaron. The Chatzaitzus HaTrua refers to the Shaifers that went along with them to the war. And as Rashi explains, the Gemara's question is, it would have been adequate for the Pasuk to say, Hashem Elokeichem Imachem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Why does the Pasuk use the extra word, HaHoylech Imachem, that he joined with you, HaHoylech, that he traveled with you? It must be that it's coming to teach us something extra. It's coming to teach us, as we're learning now in the Gemara, that HaHoylech Imachem means that the Shem V'kol K'nuyav came along with them. The Mashal explains that how do we know that the word Oysam refers to the Sanhedrin? Why? So he explains because the Pasuk already says the word Oysam twice in that Pasuk. And the Gemara often says, explains the Mashal, that the Sanhedrin were equivalent to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So if the Sanhedrin were equivalent to the rest of Klal Yisrael, so it must be that the first Oysam refers to Klal Yisrael, and the second Oysam refers to the Sanhedrin who are equivalent to us. The Ben Yoyada has a different explanation. We know, he says, that the Pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, and the Gemara says, what do we learn from the word Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim. We learn from the S, the rabbis Talmid Chachamim. So here, when the Pasuk says Oysam, it must be referring to the Sanhedrin who are the Talmid Chachamim. V'l'kli HaKodesh, so the Gemara says, Za'orin V'luchas Shabbai. So the Rasha explains that since it says Luchos Lashon Rabbim, that's why we say that Kli HaKodesh, Luchos, or Lashon Rabbim, it must mean that they brought along different things. And the Tosfos actually quotes a Tosefta that they went out to the Mechama, they took along with them the Big Day Kahuna. The Big Day Kahuna also represent a certain level of Kedusha that was appropriate that they should take along to when they went out to war. Tanam says the Gemara, Loy Lachinam Holach Pinchas Chis L'Mechama. It wasn't coincidental that Pinchas was the one to be chosen to go out with Klal Yisrael to war. El Paradin Avi Oimai, he came to repay what the Midyanim sold Yosef, his forefather, to Mitzrayim. Shenemar Midyanim Machras Yosef Mitzrayim, they sold Yosef, and therefore it was most appropriate that Pinchas, his descendant, should be the one to take Nekama. Ask the Gemara, the Memra, does that mean to say that Pinchas from Yosef Kasi, that Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef? V'ksiv Elazar ben Aaron, l'kchol b'nois p'tiel lo'y l'isha. Elazar, who was the father of Pinchas, took b'nois p'tiel, and b'tiel lo'y is Pinchas. And doesn't p'tiel, ask the Gemara, refer to Yisroi? My lav dosim Yisroi, doesn't it mean that it came from Yisroi? And the reason Yisroi was called p'tiel is for p'tiel ma'golam b'adis k'chavim. He fattened calves for Avodah Zarah. He was a priest. Says the Gemara, Loi. Petiel refers to Yosef. And why is it referred to Yosef because Shapit Beit Yitzray. He was able to prevail on Yosef. And as the Mashal explained, since we often find in Chazal that they try to explain the various names that people have, that's why the Gemara here too is attempting to explain who is Petiel. So the Sefer Teres Chaim explains how are we to understand this Gemara. The way we understand the Gemara, he explains that originally the Gemara thinks it means Yisroi because we don't find anybody in the Chumash that's called Petiel. And the Torah, if it mentions the word Petiel, is obviously referring to an individual who was known to them. And therefore, they assume it means Yisroi because Yisroi is a person that we find explicitly in the Torah overcame his original connection to Avodah Zarah. So then the Bei Yada asks that if that's the case, so that means Yisroi was originally a priest of Avodah Zarah, and he overcame that, and he became the individual who became a ger. So he asks that the halacha is the one is not allowed to remind a ger about his past. So how does the Gemara suggest that it means Yisroi, and we're reminding Yisroi of his past that he was a priest of Avodah Zarah? That's inappropriate. So he answers, no. He says that Yisroi showed tremendous courage. Here we had an individual who was on the top of the world, and he was a priest, and he was a very important personality, and he gave it all up to become close to Hashem. And that's why it's not considered speaking bad about him. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara Baloi, we know that when Pinchas killed Zimri, Shvatim Mevazanosai, the other Shvatim were embarrassing him. And they were saying, Reisim ben Putizer, Shapitim Avi Agolim Avadis Kachavim, his forefather was a priest, Yar Gnosi B'Yisrael, should he be the one to kill a Gnosi B'Yisrael? And as the Taras Chaim explains, we know that the halacha that Pinchas used was the halacha of kanoim poigimboy, that somebody who is a kanoi has a right to do what has to be done. And the Gemara was saying, before somebody could take upon himself that he's a kanoi, he has to be sure that he deserves that title. And how could somebody who is a descendant of a priest take that title upon himself? I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains that the only person that can act in such a way is a person who's confident that everything he's doing L'Shem Shemayim. If you can't be confident that what you're doing is L'Shem Shemayim, you can't take upon yourself to take such act. And how could a Pinchas, who was a descendant of Yisroi, who was a priest, be the one to kill a Nasi of a Shevet? I saw that the Sefer Ateres Yeshua explains the Gemara that the question really is that how did they kill Zimri and Cosby? Maybe they would have done tshuva, and Cosby, who was from Midian, would have ultimately gotten close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But obviously, a person has to see that what's happening is wrong, and he has to do what is right. But the question that the Shvatim were asking Pinchas is that you are descendant of a person who was a priest. And then after he was a priest, he gave up he changed. So maybe these people would have changed as well. And therefore, if they would have changed as well, how do you take upon yourself to have killed them? Ramey Shapiro, in his Sefer Imri Das, explains that if they hold that what he did was wrong, so what's the difference if he, what his yichus is? And if they do, you know, if he did what's right, so he did what's right, and it doesn't make a difference from whom he is a descendant. And if what he did was not right, it doesn't make a difference who the descendant is. So he says that there are mitzvahs that we do that very much fit into our personality. And therefore, a person does such a mitzvah, it's not considered a real nisoyin that he had to do such a mitzvah. But sometimes people do mitzvahs that are against, that are different from what their personality is. A person, for example, gives tzedakah. So if the person is a generous person, giving tzedakah doesn't come with difficulty to him. If the person, however, is not that way, giving tzedakah is not that difficult for him. And he says, actually, we have this concept taught us back by the Akedah. The Pasuk says, Velakim Nisus Avram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avram Avinu. The Pasuk does not say, Velakim Nisus Yitzchak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Yitzchak. And of course, the question is, wasn't Yitzchak also tested by being put on an Akedah to give up his life? And the answer is, Yitzchak, we know, represents Midas Adin. Somebody who represents Midas Adin is not so difficult for him to be Moisa Nefesh, to give up his life at Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu, who we know represents the Midas HaChesed, the Midas of thinking about people and caring about people, Chesed Avram, for him to have to kill, not just kill his Ben Yochid, Yitzchak, represents a total a mitzvah which is contrary completely to his personality, and therefore it's considered much more of a difficult mitzvah. Similarly, he says, Yitzchak, when we speak about Kohun, about Pinchas, so if we look at Pinchas' Yichus from Aaron HaKohen, then Aaron HaKohen, we know, was the Oy of Shalom and the Ride of Shalom. He is the person that is soft. Up to the point, he says, a tremendous vart. He says, we know that the Gemara often says that all the avoida of bringing a carbon must be done by the Kohen. But the halacha is shchita ksheir bizar. The bringing an animal for a carbon, the shchita could be done by a non-Kohen. Why? He says, because it was very difficult for Kohanim to do shchita. It's so contrary to their personality, contrary to what they represent. And Pinchas was also a descendant of Aaron. And therefore they said to him, for you to do what you did, it was easy, because you come from Akum, you come from non-Jews, and therefore they have the personality that doesn't bother them to kill someone. To which the Pasuk says, no, he wasn't, don't look at him as a descendant of those individuals who don't have an issue with killing somebody. Rather, look at him as a descendant of Aaron HaKohen, who, as we just explained, Oy of Shalom, Roid of Shalom, the individual who represents tremendous chesed and ahava. And for you to have done that represents, for you to be to do something like this represents tremendous, tremendous koichus hanefesh. The Sfasemis explains that they weren't accept that he called, that he killed Zimri and Cosby. The Pasuk says, Bekanei es kenosi b'toicham, he took on something that he did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. What they were about, what their issue was, that how, from where did that kinah come from? This type of act, did it come from the right place or did it come from the wrong place? And that's why they were concerned, as we just explained, that maybe it came from Yisrael. Ella, so now the question is, who did Pinchas come from? Ella, says the Gemara, he was a descendant both of Yosef and Yisrael. If we'll say that his mother's father was from Yosef, Ime the mother, so then his mother's mother was from Yisrael. And if not, Ime the Ime mi Yosef, will say from his mother's mother's side he came from Yosef. Avu the Ime, from his mother's father's side he came from Yisrael. So he had this combined yichus. It says the Mardaika Nami that that's how we ought to understand the genealogy of Pinchas, the Ksiv, Benois Putiel. It says Putiel with an extra yud in it. Trey Mashma, it represent both the family of Yosef and the family of Yisrael, Shema Mina. And the Sarashi says, that we just said, that the fact that the Torah spells Putiel with that yud is a proof that it comes from two of them. The Rishbam says, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk doesn't say Mibas Patiel, it says Bibinois Patiel. Benois Patiel means that he had this double Yichus. The Mishnah continues to discuss how Klal Yisrael prepared themselves to go to war. The Dibra Shoytim al Om Leimor, Mi Ish Shabana Bayis Chodesh V'Loi Chanochoi, who is the individual who built a new home and did not have opportunity to live in it? Yelef Yoshe L'Beisoi. Says the Mishnah, what is considered a new home? Ech Rabbanu Beis Teven, somebody he built a home, place where they kept the straw. Beis HaBakar is a barn. Beis HaEitzim was they kept the wood. Beis HaOitzrus is a warehouse. Ech Rabbanu, whether he built it himself, Vechra Lekech, or he purchased it, Vechra Yorish, he inherited, Vechra Shenitin Lavi Matano, who was given to him as a gift. In all these cases, Yelech Yeshe B'Baisei. And there are three reasons given by the Rishonim why such an individual should go home from war. The Rashbam explains that anybody who's in this, who built a new home, is in the category of another person who we're going to be speaking about, of a Yorei V'lach Halevav. This person is fearful that he won't have the opportunity to inaugurate the home that he built. And that person who lives with such a fear is not the person who should go out to war. Devin Ezer says that the person who built this new home is thinking about his new home. And when a person, he explains, goes out to war, what he should be thinking about is the battle that's in front of him, nothing else. The Ricanti explains that a person who is fortunate as to build a new home or marry a wife, there's a lot of midas hadin regarding this person. The midas hadin is judging, is this person worthy that he should have this chus? And we don't want to have, explains the Ricanti, soldiers that are out to war that we need to that have the midas hadin on them. The next thing that the Shaita said was Mi Ish Shanat the Karen V'Loi Chilaloi, who was the person that planted a field and did not have the opportunity to redeem. We know fruit that grows the first 3 years are Arla and the fourth year is Revai. He did not have an opportunity to redeem that fruit. And says the Mishnah, who is included in this? Echra Noitei Kerem, somebody who plants a vineyard. Vechet HaNotei HaChamishe Ola Nemachal, or somebody who plants any fruit tree. Vafilu Chamishes Minim, even if there are five different types of fruit, as long as they were planted, as we're going to learn in the proper way, he's included. Furthermore, Echra Noteia includes somebody who plants. Echra HaMavrich, somebody who grafts a branch of another tree next to this tree. Echad HaMarkiv, somebody connects two branches together. Echad HaLakeach, somebody buys a new tree. Echad HaYarish, somebody inherits it. Vechad Shenitan Leim HaMatana, or somebody who was given to him as a gift. And then he continues to say, Umi Isha She'eris Ishai V'loi L'kocha, who is the man that had Erisin but not Nesuin? Says the Mishnah refers to Echra Maris as a Psula, whether he did Eris with a Psula, Echra Maris as Almana with an Almana, Vafila Shemeris Yavam, even this woman fell to him just as a Fayibam, Vafila Shemesh Achav Mechama, if somebody heard that his brother passed away without any children, and now his wife, his sister-in-law, forced him to Yibam, the Aloch is Chayzur Baloi, he goes home to war. The Sefer Michas Kanos asks, why if somebody was Ma'aris al-Mana, he goes home from the war? We're talking about if her first husband died, if the second husband dies, so she will never be allowed to marry again. So what's pshat? The Pasuk says, Mi Isha She'eris Isha V'Loi Kach Yelech V'Yosha V'Beisai, he should go home. Maybe he'll die, Vish Achi Kachena, and she'll be able to marry another man. But this is a man who both husbands have already, this is a woman whose two husbands have died. And the two husbands died, we learned she is a Katlanis. And a Katlanis is anyway not allowed to get married. So this Michz Knos quotes the Ramah that if somebody's husband died because he was killed in a war, that's not considered that that would make the woman into Katlonis. Here, the concern is that the second husband will be killed in war. If he's going to be killed in war, she doesn't become a Katlonis. Velu, says the Mishnah, She'ein Chosen, these are the people that don't turn back. Habana Beishar, if somebody just built a gatehouse, Achsadra is a hallway to enter the house. Repesis is a porch. That is not considered an individual that he goes back, that he goes back from war. Amish the Taurus, that even if he heard that his brother died in war without children, he comes back. So the Mefarshim say that Shama, what does the word Shama mean? Means that he didn't, even if there aren't Edim that heard, just he heard that that's what happened, it's enough for him to go back. And moreover, he points out that all these individuals that we're learning about in our Mishnah that don't go to war, it's only in a case when they heard this announcement before the war, and these were reasons for them not to go out to war. But he explains this person who heard that his brother died in war and he should go out to go back to do Yibam is not only an individual who had this obligation before he went out to war, even if he heard during the war that this happened, the halacha is that they go back. And we skipped a line in the Mishnah, kol elu, all of those that we mentioned in the Mishnah, they hear from the kohen who's leading the battle. They hear these announcements of the chayzrin, but they're not completely off the hook. They don't go out to battle. But they do participate in the war effort. The Mechas Chinuch asks a question. He says our Mishnah discusses all these people who are called to leave the war. The question is, how do we understand this halacha? Is it halacha that they're obligated not to go to war? Or is it halacha that they don't have to go to war? He says that Rashi holds, he brings a raya from Rashi and Chumash, that Rashi says, Pen Yomis B'Mechama, Shebevadai Shekedayush Yomis, he will pass away. So for Rashi, it seems that they're obligated to go back. It's not optional. The Meiri, however, takes a different approach. And the Meiri's approach is that it's optional that if they're in these circumstances, they could go back. But if they don't want to, they don't have to. And we learned, Ready Ve'elish and Chazrim, but these people don't go back. Habana by Shar, somebody who built a gatehouse, Achsadra, this hallway, Mepesis, the porch. Anoite Arbe Ilone Machel, if somebody only planted 4 fruit trees, or Chamisha Linusrak, or even he planted 5 trees, but they're trees that don't give fruit. Hamachsis Grushasai, somebody it just takes back his wife, even if she was his arusa previously, that's not considered a new wife. And similarly, Amonel Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amona. So if a Kohen Gadol did erusin with an Amona, it's not a reason to go back. Grush v'chalutzul Kohen Hedjit, who may not marry such women. Mamzeres v'nesin al Yisrael. Bas Yisrael l'mamzel l'mansun. Since all of these are marriages that shouldn't have taken place, in all of these cases, loy hayechayzer. So the question is, what does the Tana have to say, Loya Yechayzer? We already started that you don't go back. Why does it need to be to repeat it? Says the Tversian that what we're learning from our Mishnah is that let's say somebody says, I'm going back to divorce the woman whom I shouldn't have married. That's still not a reason to go back. The Mechas Chinuch says that when the Mishnah speaks about Hamachse Grushasoi, it speaks about that this couple already had Nisuin. And now, after Nisuin, they got divorced. And now they're getting remarried. Teaches us the Mishnah that for that he doesn't go back. But the Mechas Chinuch holds that if he married the woman only with Erusin, and then after the Erusin, they got divorced, and now he's doing Erusin again, that is a case that they go back. Because that's still considered a Isha Chadosha. The Rambam asks, the Rambam paskins that Kohanim and Levim that actually did not participate in the Mechama. So the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam, our Mishnah clearly seems to indicate that Kohanim and Kohanim were soldiers. Because the Mishnah is speaking about the Kohen who married a woman whom he wasn't supposed to marry, does he go back or not? But if he wasn't a soldier, what's the point? So the Birkei Yosef answers that even though a Kohen is not drafted to the army, the halacha is that he could go if he so volunteers. And our Mishnah is saying that if a Kohen volunteered to go to the army, and now they make this announcement, and this seems to be a raya, that he must go home, teaches us the Mishnah, that if he got married to a woman that he's not supposed to marry, he doesn't go home. Similarly, the Mefarshim asks, our Mishnah speaks about the Mamzer, but the Gemara says that Mamzerim weren't allowed to be soldiers, given that they have this weak yichus. So how can we have a discussion about a Mamzer? So the Sefer Mincha Chareva says that the Mamzer that's being discussed in our Mishnah is a Mamzer de Rabbonon. The Mamzer that's not allowed to go out to war is a Mamzer de Raisa. Here we're talking about a Mamzer de Rabbonon. Rav Yudaimer, if somebody had a home and he demolished that home and now he rebuilds that home, that's not a reason to go back for war. Rav Lazioimer, if somebody builds a home made out of brick, Bisharon, that's a place that has very weak ground and the houses don't last, all of these cases are considered cases of a house that doesn't have any reason to stand. The Yerushalmi, in fact, says that when we speak about a Boina Bayis, he says it's talking only about somebody who built a home in Eretz Yisrael. But if you built a home in Chutz Laretz, then that's not a home that you go home for. And the Magen Avraham, in Simen Tufkov Samaches of Cotton Hay, says a very bechiddush. We know that the minig is that somebody who moves in, builds a new home, he makes a suda for Chanukas Abayis. He says that making a suda for Chanukas Abayis is considered a sudas mitzvah, but it's not considered a sudas mitzvah if it's a house in Chutz Laretz. There are others that disagree and they say that certainly that somebody who builds a home in Chutz Laretz and he's going to do mitzvahs in that home, even though it's not considered a home for the halachas that we're learning in our Mishnah, but it's a halacha, but it is considered a home where you should make a Chanukas Abayis. These are the people that don't even come out to the battlefield, that they should come and be sent back. He built a new home, but he wasn't there for a year. Not the Karim, the Chilalai, he planted this field and the entire fourth year hasn't passed. Hanoises Rusosai, somebody does Nasuin. Hakonises Yevimtoi Shenemar, Noki Yir Lebeisa Shanachas, he should be at home for the whole year. Lebeisai, Subeisai, he should stay in his home. Yir as a Karmoi, he should stay with his field. The Simachas Ishtoi Ze Ishtoi, as Shalokach, Lavi as Yevimtoi comes to teach us on his Yevamoi. Ema speak a Mayim Mazon, and they don't participate at all. They Masakna Sadrachim, they don't in any way participate in the war. So I saw that Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that every one of us builds a sukkah. And if we build a sukkah, we rebuild the sukkah every year, why is that not considered that we rebuilt a house? So he says a sukkah is comparable to the case that we just discussed in our Mishnah of somebody buying a bayis b'sharon. Somebody built a home in the Sharon. That home is not going to last, so it's not considered a home. So he says The same thing is regarding somebody who builds a sukkah. Since the sukkah is only there for the 8 days of sukkahs, it's not considered that you really built a home. Here we also learned about somebody who married and it's the Shana Rishayna. Not only doesn't he go to war, he doesn't even go to the battlefield to go back. And the question that comes up, the question is if a couple get married and the Baruch Hashem having a Shana Rishayna the first year, that what is the chassan? Is he allowed to leave home for a business trip or for other reasons or not? That so the Shalos HaTshuvos Chassam Sofer Evan Ezer Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Nun Hey quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos Mitzvos Loisa say Shimin Shin Yur Aleph that says Vada Ki Chotzon Atzmai that a chassan Muzer Lotzeis Mibesoi is not allowed to leave his home B'Schayra for business purposes Kol Shinosoi. And the Chassam Sofer says that the Rambam who writes this only wrote this out of his own feeling, but there is no pasuk or gemara that points in that way. Similarly, the Shalos HaTshuvos Ratvaz, Simen Reish Nun Reish Lamed Ches, says that this halacha that of Shana Rishayna is only regarding going to war. Somebody who's in the Shana Rishayna, halacha is should not go to war. But it has nothing to do with going to a business trip. And the Ratvaz uses very sharp language. What about the Rambam? He says that the Rambam, it's a mistake. The Rambam, what the Rambam says, is a mistake. But the Chochmas Adam disagrees, and the Chochmas Adam, Klal Kuf Chof Tes, Simen Yutes, says that a person who gets married should stay at home for the first year. However, he does indicate that if the wife of the husband says that I allow you to go out for a business trip, then the halacha is that he may. Darach HaShulchan, however, says that there's no isser. He disagrees with the Rambam. He also like the Chassam Sofer and like the Ratvaz, that he's certainly allowed to go out to business trip for the first year. And so too I saw the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi says certainly if one is in the Shana Rishayna and he asks permission from his wife to go out, to go on a business trip, he may do so. Tanur Rabbanan, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'dibru HaShoytim, Yochol Dvarim Shel Atzmam, they say whatever, they say something different than the Meshuach Mechama, K'shu Omer, V'yosfa HaShoytim, they continue, Hadrem Shel Atzman Aman. The Pasuk says that V'yosfu, that they say more, Hamani Mekayim, but ask the Gemara, what do we explain, the Pasuk V'dibru HaShoytim, that seems to indicate that they just repeat what they've heard. How does that mean? Koyin medaber, the koyin meshuach mechama would first say, and then the shaiter would carry that message to everybody. But ask the Gemara. Tani chada, we learned in one brisa, koyin medaber, that the koyin spoke, and then the shaiter mashmiya, the shaiter repeats what the koyin said. The Tanya Idach, but then there's another brisa that says Koyin Medaber. It was the Meshuach Muhammad that said whatever had to be said, and it was another Koyin who publicized what he said. So how do we reconcile these two brises? And then we have a third brisa, Shaita Medaber. It was the Shaita that spoke, and it was the Shaita that was Mashmiya that publicized what it said. Amar Abaye HaKeitzad, says the Gemara, says Abaye, the way to reconcile it is from the pasuk of Nigash and he says Shema Yisrael Atam Krayvim until Ad V'Dibru, where the Meshuach Mechama is telling them not to fear. That was something that the Koyin Medaber, that the Koyin said, the Koyin Mashmiya, and was the Koyin that publicized. V'Dibru HaShoytrim, this what we learned in our Mishnah, Mio Isha Shabana B'Rayis Ad V'Yosfu. That was said by the Koyin Medaber, and it was the Shaita that was Mashmiya that publicized it. And then the last part of Yosef V'Shaita V'Eilich was the part that the Shaita Medaber, that the Shaita said, and the Shaita Mashmiya. And we learned in our Mishnah that what did the Shaita say? Mi Eish HaShabana Ba'ayis Chodesh V'Eloi Chanochoi. Tanabanan, a shabana, only al shabana, if somebody built the home himself, lokach v'yarash v'nitelem matana, if we bought it or he yashed it or he got a gift, minayin, that he is included, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, mi ish. It could have been just said, mi ashabana. The fact that the Pasuk says that he said mi or ish is coming to add these people. Ashabana bias, only el bias. That means only a home. Minayin, rabbis, beis atevin, a place where straw is kept. Beis abakar, a barn. Beis etzim, wood. Beis atzis, a warehouse, storage room. The Pasuk says it would have been, it doesn't say a Shabbayis Bona, it says a Shabbana. To teach us it doesn't have to be only a bias to have this rule. Yochel, Shani Marba Avabani Beishar, somebody who builds a gatehouse, Achsadru Merpeses, Tamalam Bias. Ma Bias, Haroy Ladira, it has to be a place that is a livable area. And in fact, the Yerushalmi points out that if the house that was built is a room, a home, that's less than a dalar adal, that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, you don't go back for it. Loi chonach, says the Gemara, the Pasuk could have said loi chonach, but the Pasuk says v'loi chanochoi. We learn from here, prat legazlan. Somebody who stole the home, that's not a good reason that he should go back. So the Dvar of Rom says, of course, why would we think that if somebody stole a home, he should be able to go back? If you don't go back for somebody else's home, you certainly, the home that you stole is not your home. And if it's not the home that you stole, then it's not your home. So he quotes, so there are those that say that there's a rule that even though there's a rule, karka in an exelus, property cannot be stolen, somebody stole a house, he's responsible for it until he returns it. And that's why we need a pasuk to teach us that in such a case. The Chazon Yecheskel says that let's say somebody stole the house and it's been under his control for such a long time that people forgot that it was stolen. Still, it's not considered stolen. Another pshat that the Mefarshim say, he stole the house from somebody who was a ger, and that ger died without children. So at that point, he inherits the house. Still, it's not considered his house that he should build, go back. Reb Eliyashiv gives another teretz. We're not speaking about a person who actually stole the house. Of course, if you stole a house, it's not your house that you should go back from war for it. It's talking about a person who stole the materials with which he built the house. Since he stole the materials with which he bought the house, therefore, the halacha is that he keeps. Therefore, in such a case, he doesn't go back. Lema says the Gemara. Should we suggest the like of Rabbi Yosef Glili here that our brisa doesn't follow Rabbi Yosef Glili? Did Rabbi Yosef Glili ha'amar? Didn't Rabbi Yosef Glili tell us? The pasuk says, "Mi isha yar v'rachal alevav yel for yoshel abesoy zev siarim averish shaviyadoi." That a person is concerned that he did averis. Says the Gemara. So if he stole a house, how could he go out to war? He is a balaveri. He's a gazlan. Says the Gemara. Feel tamer Rabbi Yosef Glili. Our Mishnah could still follow this Gemara. This brisa could still follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili because we're talking about an individual. He's going to have a tshuva, the individual who did tshuva, and the yavdema, and now he paid for the house, and therefore he's no longer a gazlan. Ask the Gemara, but if he did tshuva and he paid for the house, it can't have a lekeach. So now he's in the category of somebody who purchased the house. And we said that a person who purchased a house, leheder, does go home, answers the Gemara. Since when he got the house, it came to him through an act of Geneva, even though the house is now his because he paid for it, Loi, he doesn't go back from the war. Because as I saw, a house that comes to the person in such a fashion is not the type of house that is deserving that you should leave war. We learned in the Mishnah, Omi ish not the Karim, the Shaiter announced, Yelech v'yashuv lebeisa. Tan rabbanan asher notar ein li ela nota. It would only teach us if he actually planted lokach v'yarish, if he bought it or he inherited it. V'neitan loy mentanav, who was given to him as a gift. V'nayin tam loyma mi'e ish asher nota kerem ein li ela keren. We only know about a keren. V'nayin l'rebbes chamisha elon emachel v'afil m'shaminim tam loyma asher nota kerem. The Torah speaks about nota to teach us that even if he planted any tree, even if they're not a kerem, he goes home. What about if he planted four trees, or five trees that don't give fruit? It has to be similar to a kerem. Just like a kerem is something that gives off fruit, or it has to be something that gives off fruit in a fruit field. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, kerem k'mashmoi. And according to him, only if somebody planted a vineyard would he go back from the war. For any other reason, he doesn't go back. Loi chilel, the pasuk says loi chilel. The pasuk could have said loi chilel, but it actually says loi chilel. Prat lemavrich, lemavrich, somebody who plants through grafting or pruning a tree, that is not considered having planted a tree, and you don't leave war. V'nan tanan, but ask the Gemara, haven't we learned in our Mishnah, Echra notev, Echra margiv, Echra markiv, that you do go back? Amrav Zera, Amrav Chizda, Loikasha. Kan bekavas iser. When the hakava that was done represented something that shouldn't have been done, represented klayim, when you mix two different types of fruit trees, then you don't go back. When the Mishnah says that you do go back, it's bekavas heter, the situation that it was done in a permissible fashion. Ask the Gemara, Hai hakovas heter hechidom, exactly what does that mean? Ilema, if we're going to say, Yolda, you took a branch of a young tree that didn't pass the early years, Biyalda, and you planted it with another tree, typically the Bayim heder, so then we don't have to have the second tree be considered. Mishim Yalda Rishayna, the first tree is still a young tree, which is a reason for you to go back from war. Ella, we're talking about you took a yalda, you took a branch of a young tree that didn't pass the years yet, and you grafted it into an older tree. But ask the Gemara, Vamer Bavua, Yalda Shezipka Bezakena, you take a branch of a young tree and you graft it into an older tree, but lo yalda bezakena, the young tree becomes insignificant in the old tree. Vein by din arla, there is no arla. So why would you go back? Answers the Gemara. Amr of Yirmiya, lo'olam, the case that we are referring to is yalda b'yalda. You grafted the branch of a young tree into another young tree. We ask the question, if that's the case, so you're anyway not going back, because you're not going back because of the first tree. The original first tree was only put up as a gate, or a kairos, or was built, it was planted not for fruit, it was planted for beams. And the Mishnah teaches us, if somebody plants a tree for the purpose of being a fence, or to be beams, potam and arla. So therefore, the first tree wasn't a reason for you to go back, because it wasn't planted as a fruit tree. But now when you did this grafting, it was done for the purpose of being a fruit. It was done for the purpose of being a fruit tree. So now I have a fruit tree that isn't old enough, and therefore the halacha is that it's chayiv and orla. And once it's chayiv and orla and revai, then the halacha teaches us that for such a situation, you go back. The Rishonim discuss the Gemara just taught us that Yaldu Shazifka Bezakena, if you take the branch of the young tree and you put it into an old tree, Batla Loi Bezakena, then it's considered an old tree. Isn't that obvious? That's the tree. So they explain that even though the tree that we have here is the old tree, but we assume that where did the primary nutrition for this new tree come from? The primary nutrition for this new tree must have come from the old tree, must have come must be coming from the young tree. The old tree doesn't have in it anymore the ability to produce fruit. And therefore, we would think that since it's the primary source of nutrition, the halacha is that therefore you should be considered a yalda, and the Mishnah says it's not. Umashna yalda b'zakeinu the butler. Umashna yalda b'yalda the light butler. But ask the Gemara, why when I'm putting two trees together, as we just explained, the young tree becomes butler and the older tree. But why don't we say that when both are young? Hasam answers the Gemara. In an older tree that we put a young branch into it, in Mimlach Allah, if he'll decide to make it into a fruit tree, it won't be chayiv in Allah. La bas mehedihi. Because since the older tree already passed the years, once it passed the years, it's not chayiv in Allah. Hacha, but when somebody mixes a young tree with another young tree, that even though the original young tree was not planted to make fruit, but now if you decide that you're going to use this new tree, this new graft for fruit, it would be chayv in arla. Because the original tree that you planted, the could have been used for fruit. It's only because you decided not to use it for fruit, was it not considered fruit. Mida the Hava, says the Gemara, because it's no worse than Olam Aleim, than a tree that came up by itself. The Tanan, Olam Aleim, a tree that comes up by itself, Chayovim Be'Ola. Ask the Gemara, the Lukma, why don't we say our Mishnah speaking about Bekerem Shoshnei Shotfim, a kerem that was planted by two partners that and the two partners grafted their trees together. The high adad of the day, a high adad of the day, and we'll say that everyone will go back from war because of his share in the tree. Amra Papa, the fact that that isn't the way we're explaining. Zoy Samaris, Kerem Shoshnei Shvutvim, a vineyard that's owned in partnership by two people, ain't Chayzer Olav Meyachim Chama. It's not a reason to go back from war. Ask the Gemara, Mashna, but why is this any different from the halacha that says, Chamisha Achim, we have five brothers, Umeis Echmem Amcham, and one of them died in war without any children, that the halacha is Kulan Chayzrin, even though we only one of them could do Yibam? Answers the Gemara, Chasam, in the case of the five potential Yavams, Kol Chad V'chad Karina by Ishtai. This woman is called to him Ishtai. Hacha, Kol Chad V'chad. When two people own a vineyard together, the vineyard is not called Karmai. Nachma Yitzchakamar, the Mavrich Ilan B'Yorek. Our Mishnah is speaking, our Mishnah that says that you go back is if you mixed a vegetable and a tree. Vaitanahu, and it represents the tenure of the Tana, the Tanya, Hamavrich Ilan B'Yorek. If you mix a fruit and a vegetable, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel matter, he says it's permissible. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda ben Gamda Ishkvaka says, So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel matter Mishum Rav Yehuda ben Gamda Ishakoi. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel quoting Rav Yehuda ben Gamda says it's mutter v'chamim oisrim. So since it's something that was permissible to be done, that's why you could go back from war. Says the Gemara Kasher of Dima, I'm Rav Yochanan. Ha, the brisa that says we don't go back for Hakava is Mani, is Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. That we learned in the brisa, Lo'yom Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Hasam, Kerem, Kemashmayu. He said that the only field for which you go back is Kerem, a vineyard. Hachnami Nota, he defines the word Nota simple, kemashmoy, which means noitei, in only in a case where you actually planted a field, is the halacha that you go back, mavrich for mavrich, and not included in the word nota, and therefore for mavrich and mavrich, lo, you wouldn't go back. Says the Gemara, Kiyosar Avdimi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Yalda b'chusum etefach, if you have a very small, short tree, it's less than a tefach tall, chayeves be'or l'kol shnaseah, that all the years, we know that all applies only to the first 3 years, this tree will be chayiv midrabanan for all its years. Because somebody who sees the tree doesn't realize that it's an older tree. It looks to him like a very young tree. The Meschazi Kabashata. It looks like a one-year-old tree. And therefore, because of Maris Ayin, you have to take off Orlo. The Hanimili, when is this halacha said? Only if you have the trees planted, Shtaim Keneged Shnaim, two trees parallel to each other, Vechad Yad Tzuzonov. And one, then the fifth tree sticking out, a diagram of this can be seen in Rashi on Amud Aleph. Ava Kule Kerem, if you have an entire field that is a Kerem with very short trees, that's something unusual. Kala Islay, and nobody's going to accuse you that you're violating Orla. Kyasar Avdim Yom Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov, Meis Toifas Arba Amos L'Krishma, where anywhere, any area within Dalet Amos of a Meis, we shouldn't say Krishma. The Ksiv Loig L'Rash Cheref Oseyu. But saying something to tease, if we say Krishma, we're still able to do mitzvahs, and we say it in the vicinity of a Meis, who obviously no longer is able to do mitzvahs, is like we're teasing him and we shouldn't do so. Your stepdaughter, Hagdela ben Achim, but she grew up in your home, Asura l'nosel Achim, should not marry your sons. The machzika chsayu, it looks like brothers are marrying sisters. But says the Gemara, v'lohi, that is not the halacha, kala isla l'milsa, everybody realizes that this is, they're not real siblings, and it's permissible. If somebody, instead of leaving the leket, leket is fruit that somebody collected after the owner dropped them. Shich is fruit that he forgot, produce they forgot. Pay is the corner. If somebody took them to his warehouse, then hook for the meiser. Even though leket shich pay a pot for meiser, once you brought it to your warehouse, people won't realize, and therefore it's chayiv emais. Amar Ula, lo yamaran el besoda. If this was done in the field, av beir, if you took it into the city, kala isla milsa, people know what you did, and we don't have to be concerned. Vamar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, yalda b'chusa b'tefach, if you have a grape tree that isn't a tefach tall, en mekadeshes azroim, the seeds that grow next to it, should be technically a situation of klayim, the tree, the grapes with those seeds, they're not considered klayim. The hanimili, again, says the Gemara, if we have only a small vineyard, like we identified a moment ago, of shtayim keneged shnayim vechad yad tzuzonov, ava kulei kerem, if you have an entire field, entire vineyard of grapes that are very short, it's still considered a vineyard, and anything that grows next to it, Magdish, becomes Klein.